in the night. Your heart fills with dread, probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed, you'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Freaky Friday, where we tell your odd but true stories. Today is Friday, September 6th. I don't know if folks had a short week, long week, depends on if you're in the States or whatnot, but it is our first Freaky Friday of September. I cannot believe we're trucking towards the end of 2024. I saw a meme that said in just 4 months, 2015 will be 10 years ago. And I was like, go to hell. Just go to hell for that.
Yeah. I still like to think 20 years ago was the 80s. Yeah, Anytime. I'm talking, think about the 80s, I'm like, you know, like 20 years ago, and that was not 20 years ago anymore.
No, it really isn't. I really do the math from like the year 2000.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
I don't know why. Me too.
Add another 24 on top of it. Like, fuck.
Missing two whole decades there. But yeah.
Well, we're all here together.
That's what we do to get by, because otherwise we're like, God, what have I done? With my life, where am I?
God, what have I done? Well, welcome to Freaky Friday. Thanks to everybody who sent your stories in. I appreciate that we get to pass the weeks with you all together. You know, each week we come on, we say what day it is, and we all just grip on to the rails of life and hold on with each other. So welcome.
Yeah, and to anyone watching on YouTube, this is what my hair looks like today, and there's nothing I can do about it. I really need my bangs cut, and so I look like that shaggy dog from the cartoons that can't see out of their eyes.
Beautiful.
Because of all, what is that dog's name? Do you remember what I'm talking about?
I know exactly what you're talking about, but I cannot remember his name.
Oh, maybe it's from Lady and the Tramp.
Over his eyes.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like I can't see.
Like, I can't see. I feel like I can see because I finally got my glasses in after I lost them on tour. And then I had to go to the chiropractor today. And she's like, so what have you been up to? And I said, well, I did get glasses and I've been. And she goes, oh, you've been moving the neck. I said, the trifocal neck. And she was like, apparently, that's a thing. So, yeah, anyway.
Really?
That's why we think.
So you have to move your eyes and not your neck?
Well, you can, but it takes some adjusting to get used to. So I have made my neck, I think, a bit sore moving it the like right or wrong way to like aim my, I just need to be more. I also have phone neck because I'm constantly looking down at my phone for work and, let's be real, non-work reasons, like a lot. So those TikToks won't send themselves.
No. How are you going to see a tortoise riding a skateboard if you're not scrolling on your phone?
Thing was so fast, and I agree, you should get one.
I'm in the market for I thought it was a turtle. Tommy says it's a tortoise because I've been researching them for years, was what he told me, because he was like, they're more needy than Petal, which is hard to imagine, but apparently these are,
they're,
I don't know.
Perhaps
will I get
needy.
One? Will I not? TBD. We'll find out.
If you own a tortoise, like, email us. Maybe you have some tips and tricks on, like, kind of like when people ask you, should you get a pig? You're like, here are things to consider before you do. I'm not telling you yes or no, but these are some factors to consider. So we might have some hands-on folks listening. And then next time they watch on YouTube, they're going to look over your shoulder and bam, there's a tortoise back there.
He's going to be on my shoulder. Stop. I'm going to train him to sit on my shoulder.
He's so cute.
I don't know how big they get.
Matter.
I'm not looking to have one like that could be out in the zoo. Like,
no.
You know, that's humongous. Like 800 pounds or so. I want like a tiny one that I can pick up that's still like transportable if necessary.
No, I agree. It would go well with all your menagerie and you are, you're all lovely. You're lovely pet people. So any tortoise would be lucky to take up residence with y'all for sure.
Well,
spoiled.
I'm in the market.
You will have to, much like with any of the house sitters you get, be like, and we also have a 150-pound pig and a tortoise, because we go on tour. So when we leave town, you have to find a responsible adult.
Oh, man, right?
To manage the herd.
God, Tommy and Christy passed. Who wants to take the pig? Who wants the tortoise that's going to live for 300 years?
They do.
We got a lot of stuff we have to divvy up.
It lives so long. Hey, we'll write you a nice estate plan for many, many years in the future, but that we'll set up a trust so that Petal and the future tortoise are taken care of, like those wacky people that are like, I leave $10 million to my poodle.
Like, well,
We don't have $10 million, but we'll make sure they're taken care of.
I surely do not, but Petal will be taken care of. And the future tortoise that I'm manifesting.
Yes.
Name TBD.
We're manifesting this tortoise. The tortoise, I feel like, is whether it will be sooner or later, it will end up in your house.
I will tell you right now that when I started toying around with the idea of I wanted a pig, now it was a 2-year toying before mm-hmm. Tommy mm-hmm. got on board, and we also wanted to have a house so she could have a yard. But once the seed has been planted, it's real hard to unplant it.
Yeah, you ain't digging that up, baby. We're watering it until it blossoms into a tortoise. Because like I said, as a person who's at your house a lot of times of the week, I was like, that would mean I would get to hang out with a tortoise. Like,
I'm very
on board. Yes, much in the way that Petal walks towards me and I almost melt into the ground every time. And it never gets old. Every time she walks around the corner, it's like, Dreamweaver. Like, every time.
She comes sashaying around.
Oh, it's so perfect. Man. Perfect. Well, we'll have to leave them just for a little bit this month as we leave town to go on our full moon energy tour.
Yeah, just a couple weeks now. We're going to be in San Diego on September 17th, Phoenix on the 18th, and Vegas on the 19th. If you haven't been to our full moon energy tour, it's not a show we do on the regular main feed. It's, as Heather calls it, our traveling show.
It's the traveling show. Get the wagon full with the big moon and the puppets. But for real, we do. We have a moon that we take with us
and a puppet.
Yeah. Puppet. So come on down and hear about the darker side of the moon, what lurks up there, what it does to us, and what actually happened during the Apollo missions. We talk about everything from true crime to cryptids, legends, lore, mystery. We do a special segment at each stop where there is a local theme to it. There's like a local connection and other stuff that we change every night too, because you know us, we can't be doing the same jokes every night. But in general, we wanted to write a traveling show that it would be ubiquitous, which what's more ubiquitous than the moon? So like Christy said, come down to San Diego September 17th, Phoenix September 18th, Las Vegas September 19th. And if you want to see the last iteration of Full Moon Energy, is going to be in Dallas, our final performance of the tour, October 17th, the Hunter's Moon of October at the Texas Theater in Dallas, our hometown show.
Is it also a full moon?
It's the full moon. It's the Hunter's Moon. Is the Hunter's full moon.
The Hunter's full moon. Well, we are on the hunt that night for some laughs.
That's right. Hell yeah. They write themselves.
Well, we hope to see all of you there.
Yeah, for all the details, make sure to go to sinisterhood.com/live shows.
Well, I'm Christy.
I'm Heather.
And let's get freaky. This first one is from Sabrina, and it is called Our Nash Bash Fiasco. And trigger warning, there is mentions of attempted sexual assault and gun violence. Hi, ladies. I've been listening to you for a little over a year now. You've helped me through some difficult times, especially while my father was ill. I spent many days and nights in the hospital with not much to do besides sit there and wait. Many books were read and many episodes were listened to. I think my favorite episode was the first one I listened to, The Aerial School Incident. Love me some aliens. My little brother is getting married September 28th. Woohoo! For my future sister-in-law's bachelorette, 13 ladies headed to Nashville. I am 39 and perfectly content with spending my nights curled up on my couch with my pup in a good book or a good movie. My days of going out and staying out late are long gone, but I tried my hardest to keep up with the younglings. I think I did okay. The trip was so fun with no hiccups until our last day in Nashville. Three from our group had earlier flights than us and left that afternoon, while the rest of us decided to grab lunch at a food court-like area. We branched off into different groups to explore different food and shopping options. I settled down at a table with 4 or 5 other girls. I went to the bathroom alone at least once. I pee a lot. This bathroom was relatively far away from where we sat and had about 5 or 6 stalls. When 2 other girls from my table were done eating, they stated they were headed to the bathroom. And, as I had previously mentioned, I pee a lot. So, I joined them. As we were walking, we saw a woman, visibly upset, walking out of the bathroom area, joined by a woman in scrubs. We did our business, and as we walked out, we saw another girl from our group who was eating in a different area, and she filled us in on what had happened. The woman we saw had entered the bathroom, and as she was leaving her stall, she saw a man in the restroom blocking the exit. As she tried to scoot by him, he grabbed her by the head and smashed her head into the wall. He was able to get her on the ground and attempted to sexually assault her. Luckily, the woman's significant other was right outside the restroom, as the men's bathroom was adjacent, and heard the scuffle. I'm not sure if he entered the bathroom and scared the attacker off, but the attacker ended up running away. Cops were called, and he was caught. Woohoo! I'm attaching a link to the article at the very end of my story. We were shaken up from this. Our hearts were breaking for the attacked woman, and we were also feeling a bit grateful that our timing of bathroom visits hadn't coincided with this man's timing. As I stated earlier, I'd been in this bathroom alone, with no significant other outside waiting for me. If we had also left about 3 minutes or so earlier as a small group, it would have been three of us in there with him. Who knows what could have happened? We decided right then and there that we would not take off alone, at all, even for a moment's time. But this isn't the end of my story. Before all of this happened, we had stored our luggage in a gyro restaurant. I don't know. As our flight was later that evening and we had plenty of time left to hit some more bars and do some more exploring. A few hours later, it was time to start heading back and begin our departure from Nashville. Our group of 10 began the walk back to the gyro restaurant. We were a few steps away when we heard pop, 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 pop. Very loud and seemingly very close. We all froze for a second. Then someone in our group yelled at us to run. So we ran. My sister and I were at the back of the line, essentially becoming the front. We all ran hard and fast. We ran up the block and around a corner. We stopped only when we felt far enough away. With our hands on our upper thighs, leaning over and breathing hard, we took a beat and looked at each other, all questioning if what we heard were really gunshots, all of us being thankful we were okay. Not too long after, we heard sirens. Police came and went right around the corner from where the gyro shop was. After some time, and after the cops had been in the area for a while, we decided it was safe enough for us to start walking back. We were joined by a few girls who were on the other side of the street and who were too afraid to walk alone. Power in numbers. I was able to take some quick videos. You can see some police officers running from the area of the shooting to where the shooters ran to. The other video is us walking back to our luggage and the cops headed to the scene. In our Uber, the mood was heavy and we started crying. I know for myself, I was still processing how I felt as I was running. I thought maybe the shooters would drive by and just start shooting us. We all wanted to get to the airport and get through security. When both groups from the two Ubers reunited, there were more tears and we all hugged each other. About a week after returning home, I took my dog to some trails we always go to. It was my first time being completely alone since the incidents. I felt uneasy. I've always considered myself a reasonable person with my guard up in appropriate circumstances. But after that day, I have to say, I'm definitely a different person. I 100% believe my dad was watching out for us that day. We would have been even closer to the shooting, but I had to pee before leaving the bar we were at. Love my bladder. And may have even been on that street. We were supposed to walk down that street, but we missed it and took the way we came instead. So, thanks, Dad, for the nervous peeing I suffer from and the lack of sense of direction. If this makes it on the podcast, thank you for sharing my story.
Well, that is not how you expect your bachelorette party to go, certainly.
Oof.
Either no. of those incidents, and for them to happen just back to back like that, that is, you definitely would be left with an emotional impact, you know, like everybody getting together in the Uber or getting reunited at the airport. It's just like you breathe that final sigh of like, I'm in this like fight or flight mode. Like, what am I doing? Running, like literally running for your life. You don't know if you just hear pop, 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 pop out on a busy street like Nashville. Oh, yeah. You know, if you haven't been to Nashville, there's a lot of hustle and bustle. People going to bars, packed. Restaurants. Yeah.
Yeah. Always tons of foot traffic, lots of people. And in this day and age, when you hear bunch of gunfire in a crowd, mm-hmm. you run because you don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I'm glad it happened at the end of the trip because that had happened the first day. That either sullies the whole trip or maybe you go back because you're like, this is too much to all happen within just a matter of a couple of hours.
Yeah, you're right. Having that departure ticket that day probably felt a little better.
Sabrina sent links for both the attack and the shooting. So it looks like the man that was arrested for attacking the woman in the bathroom had actually attacked two women in downtown Nashville. He was apprehended, so that's very good.
They're holding him on like a $600,000 bond, but he had some prior convictions as well. So I hope that means they will, because he had attacked one woman. She wrecked her car trying to get away from him. He jumped in her passenger seat and she threw it in reverse, and she jumped out and ran and left her car, and a passerby yelled at him as he took chase. The perpetrator tried to chase the victim, the first victim, and when a passerby yelled at him, the perpetrator backed off, and then he went to this, what sounds kind of like a food court area, and it sounds like he was lurking and waiting for someone to go in the bathroom alone, and then attacked the woman in the bathroom. And like they said, luckily the food court, the security in that, whatever that business was at least paying attention enough to stop him and grab him and before the so the police could apprehend him. But that is a, and then they said the shooting might have been drug related, perhaps. But
yeah, a couple of teens.
Yeah, 15 and 17.
It looks like a person was injured. The guy who was apprehended is scary looking. Certainly. And you walk out of your bathroom stall and you see that guy in the women's restroom at the door. I think I would immediately know I was in trouble.
I will say, as always, I'm such a proponent for that Birdie personal alarm thing that I have. Just something that you can, because if you're traveling, if you're flying, you can't really fly with pepper spray. I also carry pepper spray usually on all my runs and walks, but sometimes I just chuck it down in my purse, you know, so I have it. But if you're like if we're on tour and flying, I can't have pepper spray. But something like just anything that you have, not that obviously the woman going to the bathroom did nothing wrong, and thank God her husband was waiting out. But, you know, he probably feels a type of way being like, you know, you're so close, but so far, but it ain't nobody's fault but the perpetrator.
No, but that's – the birdies are great, because if you do find yourself in a situation like that and no one's around, at the very least, the sound is ear-piercing and should drive the person away. At the very least, it's going to cause a scene to drive a bunch of people towards your direction.
No, definitely, for sure. Well, congrats on the nuptials between your brother and his future wife, and but I'm sorry that the – bachelorette party and all of you are going to have to, you know, kind of really deal with that and give yourself time to deal with that, because that's a real thing that happened to you all. You know, you kind of say, I wasn't the target victim. I wasn't the primary victim, but still it affects you. You know, you all were shaken. So
the fear that you felt, that's was all real. So trauma is anything that prevents you from being able to move on with stuff. Well, thank you so much, Sabrina, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
This next one is from Carrie, and it is called Terrifying Teenage Job. Hi, ladies. Love you both and love the pod. Your recent Freaky Friday episodes talking about teenage front desk hospital jobs made me think of my teenage job at a local mall. When I was 19 and in college, I worked alone part-time at a kiosk in the middle of a local mall. I sold mittens, hats, and other winter gear. I live in Minnesota. It's colder than sin in winter, and we were typically very busy. Each night, we were required to take our earnings for the day to the bank and drop the money and checks into the overnight deposit box. This was the only after-hours option. This shift ended like any other, with me closing out my drawer, packing up, and driving to the bank to drop the money. It was about 9 p.m. and pitch dark when I pulled into the parking lot and around to the back where the drop box was located. I parked my car in one of the bank lanes where you'd park to speak to a teller, got out, and walked up to the drop box with my bag of cash in hand. As my hand was on the handle, I heard footsteps running up behind me and stop right behind my back. When I turned around, there was a man with a dark hoodie over his head, a bandana over his face, and both hands in his pockets, insinuating he had a weapon. He told me, "Give me the bag. I'm not going to tell you twice." I was in complete shock and just froze. My brain couldn't get to a place that understood, I'm actually being robbed right now. And I just stood there totally terrified. At that point is when I noticed another man behind him, dressed in the same dark hoodie and bandana over his face. When I finally realized this was really happening, I threw the bag at the men and they ran off. I ran to my car and sped home, still in total disbelief. I woke my mom up crying and explained everything that had happened. She called the police for me because I was too upset, and they sent an officer over to make a report. He assured me I had done the right thing by handing over the money and explained when people resist, they usually get hurt, and no amount of money is worth your life. Turns out, that day's cash earnings were $90. The rest of it was in checks. So the robbers got a total of $45 each. Hundreds in checks they'd never be able to cash, and scared the hell out of me. I'm 40 years old now, and I still have bank anxiety to this day. I quit this job immediately because I no longer felt safe. Salt in the wound, my job asked me to confirm my robbery on camera with the bank to ensure I didn't steal the money myself. The audacity. They never found the men who robbed me, and could only tell me that a canine tracked their scent until an abrupt stop, which usually means they'd gotten into a car after running. The police also confirmed to my kiosk job that yes, I did in fact get robbed by two men, and that they should probably change their protocol about having anyone drop money at night after their shift. If you've taken the time to read this, thank you. Even if you haven't, thank you. Writing this out has been therapeutic, and hearing stories from your other listeners about things that have happened to them has helped me to feel that I'm not alone in my trauma. Love you both, and thank you for always keeping me entertained while I pour candles for my small business. You're the best. Carrie.
What in the world kind of job that was like, excuse me, vulnerable teen woman, would you like to take a wad of cash into a darkened bank parking lot?
I had to do that.
That's like back in the day would just be like, take the money. And you're like, oh, okay, let me just shake as I put my hand in there. What protocol were we following back then?
No, I remember I worked at a retail store and it was like a blue bag and two different places.
Which robbers
I had
know.
To do this.
No, what is it? The robbers know what the bag.
I mean, like, you just wait for some. If you were a robber and staked out one of these boxes for a week, you would see the schedule of when people come. It's very easy to know, like, all right, 9 o'clock. That means somebody just got off their shift. Let's go wait until they pull up.
That's stealing that mitten money. That's fucked up.
Usually
man.
They make two people go. I remember the places That's I smart. Worked. Two people had to go at least because of shit like this.
Because happening. They knew. They're like, listen, we need a bag man and we need someone to fist fight him. So which one are you? And you're like, how much am I getting paid for this? They're like $8.41 an hour. And you're like, and I'm supposed to fight someone for your money? No, I will be handing them. You did the right thing, Carrie. It's like, oh, this isn't my money. Please don't hurt me. I don't care. Like,
you don't have to tell me twice. I will throw it right at you. It's not mine. And even if it was, like that cop said, there is nothing, no amount of money. Or like in the previous story, the girl jumped out and abandoned her car to avoid being attacked. I mean, nothing is worth your life. So everything can be replaced but you. So you definitely did the right thing. And yeah, change your protocol, kiosk. That's insane.
I'm glad that the cops were like, we have some advice for you folks. And I'm like, thank you for standing up for the victim who, after the kiosk people were like, we just want to make sure you were really robbed. It's like, cool. Well, I'm fucking traumatized from it. But yes, sure. Get receipts for yourself.
For $95. You're like, I stole $95 from y'all and a bunch of checks that I have nothing to do with.
Yeah, that's
I'm so sorry, though, that you are still affected by this. Mm-hmm. I mean, I completely understand why. But again, like, no matter how long ago stuff happened, if it still affects you and gives you anxiety, it's never too late to seek help for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely do something about it and say, like, you know what? This is a real true thing that happened. It really has affected me. And I don't want to feel this way anymore. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I'm going to figure out ways to unwind it. We both certainly have done that in our lives, various different things, still are with other things. So yeah, don't feel bad at all, Carrie. Even if you were 19 when it happened, having the footsteps run up behind you, everything you described is a fucking nightmare scenario.
Oh my gosh.
You lived a literal nightmare. You are
valid. One that we've all played through our heads.
Yes, yes.
I remember, like, I think they still have these. I don't go to them anymore because I would also have such bank anxiety of going to a walk-up ATM. Mm-mm. I'm like, this
seems crazy to me.
I'm right for the picking right now. Yeah, unless it was inside. But even then, like, sometimes it would be, like, inside, and then there was glass doors to the actual bank. And after hours, it was just the inside part that was open. Well, if it's open to me, it's open to whoever.
Right.
So I'm not trying to get out of my car and walk up and then walk back with a bunch of cash.
Yeah, the amount of times in Chicago that I was like, it's late. I have to have cash to do X, Y, and Z. I'm so glad most places are going cashless because it's safer, right? Like, mm-hmm. It's like, sure, steal my phone, steal my credit card. I'm just going to turn it all off and it's going to be worthless. You know, maybe you sell it for parts. But I do remember the bank ATMs where luckily you would put your card to get the door to unlock and then go in. And then, the door would close after you. But they only installed those in the last few years I've been there. But yeah, you're just like trying to type your PIN number while your hand's shaking. But
yeah constantly turn it around to make sure nobody's running up behind you.
So yeah, Carrie, what you experienced is the real version of all of our anxieties. So you're completely valid in that feeling for sure.
For sure. And I'm very glad that you got out of there unscathed, physically, at least.
For sure.
Well, thank you, Carrie, for sending that in.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Your daughter has written in.
Hello, sweetheart.
And the subject line is vigilante justice. Hi, ladies. I could spend a whole page gushing over you two. For example, I recently pitched a book to my book club that Heather said she loved, and my reasoning for it was, one of my favorite podcast hosts loved this book, and that's good enough for me. It was Lincoln in the Bardo, by the way, and was chosen as one of our reads this year. Anyway, the first part of the latest episode about Ken Rex McElroy reminded me of a story my dad told me a while back. For context, he grew up in Detroit in the 60s. He was part of the cleanup crew after the riots, was held by gunpoint while working at a car wash, though he didn't realize it and somehow scared the guy away. And then, this. In high school, he dated a girl who had an abusive father. This guy was notorious and hated throughout the community. The story goes that the girl's brother beat the dad to death after an incident, not sure of the specifics. But when the dad's body was found, no one asked any questions. The police didn't look into it, and the neighbors turned a blind eye. The murder was an open secret, but because the guy was such a piece of shit, no one thought of it as any great loss. I don't have any more details for you because, unfortunately, my dad reached a stalemate with cancer 5 years ago. I refuse to say he lost his battle to cancer because the disease died with him. I wish I had asked him more about his life and written it down, but the stories I do know that run the gamut from something like this to ghost stories keep him close to me. Thank you for advocating for people who don't have the means to advocate for themselves. You bring compassion to these stories that makes your listeners want to do their part in helping others. Keep it creepy, Anon.
What a beautiful sign off, Anon. Damn.
That was very sweet. And I've never heard that, but I agree. The disease dies with him, so nothing beats you. You fought,
right?
And then eventually you both succumb. But right, I like the phrasing of that. And your book got chosen. Your daughter.
I feel no pressure.
Are you honored?
I'm very honored. I was like, oh my gosh, like a bunch of people I don't know are going to read this book. But I mean, a lot of people do. But on my recommendation. But please, Anon, update us. Let me know later, like what everybody thought after y'all read it. And if there's any like takeaways, interpretations. I need to reread it. It's been a hot minute
I've read it. Because you talk about it a lot and I haven't read it. So I
tell you, I know you
too.
Don't do a ton of audiobooks, but the audiobook of that is totally different because it is acted out. Because the script, the book itself is written and it sort of almost looks like a script. And then the audiobook is like Nick Offerman and all these different voices and stuff.
Say less.
And like Megan Mullally, like Keegan-Michael Key, like celebrities, like do different characters and stuff. But the three main voices, it's Nick Offerman and I think David Sedaris and George Saunders. So that might be completely wrong. But I think that's who the main – it's been a minute. But yeah, anyways, all that to say, some cases like this where I think police get called in and it turns out Earl was a missing person who nobody missed at all, as the chicks once sang. So the cops are like, who's wanting us to pursue this? Oh, nobody? All right, we got a lot of stuff to work on. So if you're telling us we're good to go here, we're good to go.
Which, don't know what happened here. And the neighbors who lived right next door to this monster and probably heard a whole lot. Like, I didn't see anything. I went home that night. I'm sorry, my cameras were off. I don't know what happened.
Right, that's the Detroit in the 60s for you. That's actually where my dad grew up. He left right before the riots to go move to Tennessee, but there, he told some stories about things were kind of loose as far as like he was a teen that could just run around and do anything he wanted. So it may be too that it was just the police were overwhelmed or whatever, you know, in the aftermath of all that. But we appreciate you sending that in, Anon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this next one is from Laura, and the subject line is, what are the chances? Hey, ladies, you truly make me laugh out loud at work. Thanks for the entertainment. My story takes place in 2001. Remember, at this time, most people didn't carry cell phones on them. It was before anyone had smartphones, and many still used beepers to communicate. This particular day was my best friend's wedding, and I was a bridesmaid. I knew I would be gone for a while, so I moved my new puppy to the porch in case of accidents. This is important later. The wedding was nice, and we headed to the reception. It was storming that day, so we stood under the carport as we decorated the newlywed's car. As I was standing next to my friend, an off-duty firefighter, he got a notification on his pager. I asked him how he knew what was happening just by looking at his pager. He then handed his pager to me, and I proceeded to read, "Structure fire at XXX Jordan Road," which was my address. At this time, I was fully panicking and ran inside to search for a phone to call the owner of the property. She told me she was aware of the situation, and I asked her to save my dogs. I then ran through the parking lot and severe storm to my truck and headed to my house. When I pulled up to the scene, most of the big flames were extinguished. Turned out lightning had hit the roof above my bed. My bedroom ceiling had collapsed. What wasn't burnt was destroyed by smoke and water. Thankfully, putting the dogs on the porch that day saved their lives. To add to the mystery of the day, I had a teddy bear named Hugo that I'd had since I was 6 years old, approximately 16 years. I slept with Hugo every night in my arms. He was surely my security item. He stayed on my bed at all times, which was now a pile of ash. Well, when I pulled up to my house that night, Hugo was sitting on my porch, totally unscathed. It's like someone or something knew that I needed Hugo to get through the trauma. I still have Hugo on my bed to this day. I still look back and wonder what would have happened if I wasn't standing next to that friend. I would have just shown up to my house that night to find it not there. Attached is a current photo of Hugo after 39 years of emotional support.
Well, first of all, Hugo is a doll.
Love
Hugo. This might be the craziest case of a coincidence, but it can't be, that I've ever heard.
Isn't it wild that it's like the same moment that you're just standing next to a person, and you're like, oh, what's that? And then they turn it and it's your address.
Dude.
The heart stopping, throat closing, like throw up a thousand times. Like you're just like, I have
it's
to get
like
out
a
of here.
Movie.
Yes, it's like, I have to go. I
that's out of a script. Like you don't normally hear about that happening. And that's true, because to think, like, had you not known about that, you would have just kept on going at the reception while your house was on fire, not having
dancing.
Any idea. Mm-hmm. And then you get home and that's happened. It's truly like baffling that you just happened to be standing by your friend and all of that happened.
And moved the dogs to the porch and everything.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see, how did Hugo get out of there? He was like, shit is about to go down.
I don't know. Maybe somebody, when they first got to the scene and were putting out the fire, it was mainly in the bedroom, they just grabbed some stuff. But if he was sitting on the porch, it was like they kind of placed him there.
Hugo was like, I've been waiting. I have some bad news about the house.
He was going to break the news to you if the pager hadn't gone off.
He's like, oh, you got my page. Like, you sent that? Yes, I did. I think he's magical. Clearly he is. I love him. He's
cute.
A little brown bear. And I had a little monkey when I was growing up named Clyde. And he makes me think of Clyde, who I wonder if my mom still has Clyde, but no one. She probably does. But I love that Hugo survived and lived to support for not just another day, but another many, many years. That's beautiful.
You've still got Hugo, and Hugo can't be replaced. Like those things.
Yeah.
So I'm so glad something, fires are so devastating. And it's just, I mean, the amount of stuff you lose that you don't even realize you have at the time. Mm-hmm. Then you're like, oh my God. So I'm so glad Hugo made it out. And that you got there in time to, you know, assess the situation. Most importantly, that you had the foresight or mm-hmm. perhaps something, a little whisper in your ear that was like, put the puppies on the porch.
Right. And you and I were just talking about that, of like trying to listen to our intuition and mm-hmm. guts a lot more and being like, this feels like the thing I should do. And mm-hmm. for whatever reason it is, maybe it's just common sense. Like, that's just a good thing to do, to put the dogs on the porch. But also, maybe there's something pushing us along. So mm-hmm. I love it. I love that you both, all of y'all, the dogs and Hugo and you, all survived unscathed. So thank you, Laura.
Thank you.
This next one's from Casey, and the subject line is a glitch in the matrix. Hello, ladies. First, let me just tell you that you ladies rock. I discovered podcasts a few years ago, and now all I listen to is y'all by cleaning houses all day. With my earbuds, of course, because I might freak my customers out with the stories of decapitations and cryptids. To think, I used to joke with my dad about listening to talk radio. Sorry, Dad, I get it now. Listening to your stories and hilarious banter gets me through my workday, so thank you for doing what you do and being awesome. Now, on to the story. I've heard a few of these glitch in the matrix Freaky Friday stories and decided to share mine. So, years ago, my mom bought me this really pretty pair of earrings. They were dangly with these big, shiny black beads on them. Not huge earrings, but definitely not a tiny stud. The black beads were over an inch long and almost as wide. I loved these earrings, and I was excited to wear them. Fast forward a week. I was getting dressed to go out, ready to wear my brand new earrings. As I was trying to put one of the earrings in, I dropped it. I heard it hit the carpet, as it was pretty quiet in the house at the time. I looked everywhere for that earring, but I never found it. I was so confused. I looked in places I knew damn well I wouldn't find it in, because I'm thinking, it couldn't have just disappeared, right? I even took the blankets off the blanket rack that was next to the mirror I was looking in and checked them all in case it got hung up on one, even though I distinctly heard it hit the floor. And we don't have floor vents. Ours are in the ceiling, so there's no vent for it to fall into. I found a different pair of earrings to wear and went on with my night. I looked multiple times over the next few days and still found nothing. It bugged the shit out of me for the longest time. Now here's the kicker. I always figured I'd find it in some strange spot when I eventually moved. I never forgot about that earring. I even held on to its mate for years, hoping it would turn up. I moved 2 years ago, and I still never found it. It wasn't behind the furniture or anything. It's like it dropped and rolled into another dimension. So, that's my story. It might be a small thing, but it's always baffled me. That earring legit disappeared, never to be seen again. And I'm still bummed I didn't get to wear them. Thanks for listening to my story, and stay awesome. P.S. I know y'all love fur babies, and I foster bottle baby kittens for a local rescue, so I attach pics for your enjoyment. Who doesn't like kitten pics?
Well, I love First a good kitten pic. That, oh, I mean, these kittens, a specific kitten pic is the one I'm trying to get sent. Oh. They are so little, small.
Why
little
are guys. Kitten oh, bellies are the best bellies? Like, little oh. kitten belly tummies are so soft and the
I
best.
Want a little kitten belly right now, and just, I just want to, like, squish my little face into it. Oh, my goodness.
In the
oh, they're
kitty.
So cute. And this little gray one with its little blue, like dark blue, stormy eyes. Oh, my gosh. They're so sweet.
Well, this is wild, especially given. Thank you, Casey, by the way, for answering so many questions that we might have had, which is there somewhere it could have rolled to? Did you move? Could it be in the vent? Also, was it like a tiny little diamond? But if it's like an inch long, like an inch is, that's significant. That's a pretty big. I always say, like, your knuckle, right?
Looking
that's like
my,
an inch.
Looking at my knuckle. Yeah. Yeah. That's about, yeah. That's, I mean,
you know,
and
big
if you heard
see,
it hit the carpet, you'd be
enough.
Like, oh, you look down and it's right there.
Kerplunk.
But it's not.
Another dimension.
Yeah. The moving zone. And still not being able to find it really sets this one apart because I don't have an explanation. I don't have an explanation. I will
don't.
Say there's, I've lost several pairs of just one of the earring to the mate over the years that I also loved so much, and I still hang on to them. Like, one day I'm going to find these. I've probably had, like, two different cars since then, moved multiple times, and I'm like, one
you
day I'll
know.
Find this earring.
You might come back to me. I'm always like, as soon as I get rid of the mate, then the other one's going to turn up, and I'm going to be like, son of a bitch,
yes.
just had it. But as long as you keep it, you probably won't find it. So you can't win.
Maybe that's what you got to do.
Throw the other
maybe,
one
Maybe, Casey, you got to get rid. Now you got to do have somebody hold on to it so you know that it's you're not finding the one you already had, mm-hmm. which I have done too many times. I'll be like, "Here's the shoe I was looking for. Nope, this is still the left one that I already had. Still looking for the right one." But you give the earring to someone mm-hmm. to hold, and then perhaps the other one. What if it just showed up in your closet at your new house? I'd die.
And then it's like, there can't be two of us. Like, wait,
and it's
what?
It's next to an orange.
You're a pear. Yeah, or garlic or whatever. No, it was an onion, wasn't it? Somebody dropped an onion.
Onion, orange. Maybe, yeah.
Yeah, this is what I want to know is that you're not alone, Casey, because we have had now two onions and an earring. Things are getting sucked into another dimension. I want to know. I want to get a story in from somebody who was like, I was just walking through my house and there's a fucking earring on the ground.
Dude,
it was
right?
huge. And then describe it the same way. And you're like, that's my earring. It fell through mm-hmm. somehow. Like we're all just, you know, all stacked
two onions
on each other.
And an earring. There's some website that has something about that.
Well, that might be where your other earring is, Casey. So don't
perhaps.
Go looking on the internet.
On but the dark web.
The dark web. Well, thank you for sharing this with us. And we hope, like Christy said, maybe if you get rid of the one, you'll find it. But yeah, anybody else that has Glitch in the Matrix stories, or, you know, if you're a quantum physicist listening and you have a theory on what might have happened here, let us
also,
know.
Also, thank you if you're a quantum physicist First and you're all. Listening, because that, to me, is like an elite job. So I feel... kind of like, honored that you're listening.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Oh, but thank you very much, Casey, for sending that in.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. Well, this final one is also from my daughter, Anonymous. Hello, sweetheart. And the subject line is Freaky Friday 127 Connection. Hello, ladies. I'm a newer listener, but wanted to write in to share a spooky connection that happened after last week's Freaky Friday, episode 127. Just a bit of background before I jump into the story. I live in the same area where Jeff and Shalea from Twin Flames reside in Michigan. A couple of friends and I were out to dinner, and I brought up the Netflix documentary, which I had just finished watching. One of the ladies, I'll call her Mighty, brought up your podcast and even played a part for us at the table that she found so funny she had to share. From that point on, I've been listening to all new releases and started listening from the beginning. We'd even talked about getting to a show if you come to Michigan. Okay, on to the story. Last Friday, I'm starting my workday and listening to Freaky Friday, episode 127. The last story, the woman kicked off the story by saying, "Love you, mean it," and then went on to talk about her near-death experience in a car accident. This is something my friend group started saying to each other over the winter, especially after Mighty lost her husband at the end of last year. I immediately thought of Mighty and was going to text her to share the coincidence and tell her I've been trying to listen for any new live show dates. I was in my daily morning meeting when our mutual friend called me, something us elder millennials don't ever do. When I was able to call the friend back, I learned that Mighty had died the night before in a car accident. While her family and friends continue to process this very sudden loss and one that's very tragic, I like to think this was her way of communicating with me. I don't know if you'll read this on the podcast, but even typing this out is bringing a smile to my morning at a great time of disbelief and sadness. Keep it creepy, and thank you for taking the time to read this and maybe share this. Well,
I wanted to save this one for the last because I felt, one, that we would cry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Two,
I did when I first
I wanted to end on like,
tell your friends you
what
love
a nice thing yeah. that Mighty introduced you to our show, and then you had something to share, and it just kind of like synchronicity, it all came. Mm-hmm. together in the end. I just went back and looked at the stories from last week, and
mm-hmm.
the last one from Laura, mysterious backseat passenger, at the very beginning says, "Hi ladies, love you, mean it."
Love you, mean it. And that's it. Anytime we lose a listener, this is not the first listener we've heard of somebody that's part of the Sinisterhood family, and it means something to us. I can speak for both of us. It means a great deal to be any little part of somebody's life, and to know mm-hmm. that we're part of anybody's life such that they want to share it and, you know, brings friends together or whatever. And that is so much loss for that family to have lost and the friend group and everybody in that community to have lost Mighty's husband just a few months ago. And now yeah. to also lose Mighty. So We thank you for letting us know about her life and know about this wonderful person that you clearly loved very much and meant so much to you and to your friend group and everybody that she met. So I'm sorry for her family, and it matters to us when we lose somebody that's Absolutely. A member of this community, for sure.
It matters to us very much. And it, like Heather said, it means a lot that our silly podcast was something that you guys could connect over, and that Mighty like shared it, and you wouldn't have known about it had it not been for her. So, you know, everything kind of happens in weird ways, and just like with standing next to the pager or something like this, like who knows how we're all intertwined and the fabric of time is all woven together, but it's things true. Like this that make me think maybe we're all like, you know, on some kind of energy wavelength where we're sending little messages to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's like, how can I reach this person? You know, how can I reach you? Oh, well, she's going to be listening to that. Or that may be our silly human brain's way of trying to make sense of something that's bigger than us and harder to fathom. When you go to call your friend or go to text your friend and it's silence on the other end.
Yeah.
That's something to definitely that you'll have to get used to in that moment, but having that love for your friend, and so that you all have like a saying, like you love each other and love your friend so much that you have love you mean it. That's something that we can all say to the people that we love. And we can definitely say it to you, my sweet daughter, Anonymous. Love you mean it truly for taking the time to let us know about Mighty's life. And we will keep her with us along with our other listeners that we've lost too. And
absolutely.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
And what an appropriate pseudonym of Mighty, because she sounds like a very mighty person. Well, thank you again for sending that in. And thank you to everybody that sent in your Freaky Friday stories. If you have an odd but true story, maybe you've encountered Bigfoot, you've seen a UFO, you had a brush with true crime, or you felt the presence of an otherworldly being, send them in at sinisterhood.com/Freaky Friday. If you like our free episodes, you'll love our Patreon bonus content. You can join for free to see what we're up to next or dive into over 900 hours of bonus content.
We got all kinds of stuff. We have a Reddit Am I the Asshole coming up. We got a Judge Christie coming up, a True Crime Headlines. Some stuff that just recently came out was our relationship advice that had a lot of people talking in the comments. So that's the fun part about Patreon, is listen and then go chat with everybody in the group. You also get ad-free episodes, monthly live stream Q&As, quarterly live bonus content, weekly audio bonus content, monthly minisodes, merch discounts, and a community of the absolute best and most amazing listeners on the internet. We love you all. Thank you.
For sure. That's been proven today, definitely. And if you don't want to join just yet, but you'd like to see what we're up to, you can join for free for a week. Check out all the perks. You can do it at any tier. And if you cancel before the trial is over, you don't get charged. If you decide you like what you see, which we certainly hope you do, then stick around. And that's just the beginning of your journey.
Welcome down the rabbit hole, as we say. And you can also head over to sinisterhead.com, click shop on the top banner, and check out all of our merch, like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. And be sure you use your Patreon discount code to make sure you're getting the best deal. It's available in the pinned post on Patreon.
While you're on our website, you can also review the show. We love ones that have 5 stars in it and would sincerely appreciate that. Follow us on socials and check out the episode description. You'll also find fun things like topic-based playlists and links to live show tickets for all those full moon energy shows. I say all, there's only 4 left, so get them while you can.
Get your, and they're the VIPs, there's maybe some available, but those are starting to sell out, so you got to get in there before
I think
too.
A couple might already be. So yeah, check out sinisterhood.com/live shows to get your tickets now.
You can follow us on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod, and like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. You can watch full video versions of our Wednesday episodes as well as clips from Freaky Friday over on YouTube. They drop early and ad-free on Patreon, just heads up. And you can also check out clips of the show on TikTok. Don't forget to check out Cameo, where you can order a custom video shout out from us or your favorite member of the menagerie, whether it's the corn skull, McGruff, the Blucifer head, or we've recently had a Petal video that we got to do. It was super fun. And it was like, Petal was like feeling it. It was good footage.
It's, I don't want anyone that we didn't get this cameo to feel bad, but I think it might be one of the best cameos ever. And we didn't do much.
No,
like, I was just feeding Petal treats, but she was like, we got to wait for Petal. When people ask for Petal, mm-hmm. we don't go to Petal. We let Petal mm-hmm. come to us. And she was in a performing mood, and she was just really like giving face and working her angles.
She was.
And then really got a lot of camera time.
She turned around and just gave tail the whole, just full tail as we closed it out. Could not have been more perfect. But check out cameo.com for all those custom video shout outs from us or Petal. Let's be real here.
And soon, probably a tortoise.
It's just going to be tortoise views. So I'm fine with that. Let's run and get this tortoise its own cameo. Where can people find more pictures of Petal and also an announcement when you get the tortoise?
Yeah, I will do it like a baby announcement when we get this. I am on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy.
Sinister.